Let's turn our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 23, please. Proverbs chapter 23. Isn't this gorgeous weather that we're getting? Those of you who have moved from like Arizona and Ontario to come for this BC weather are now starting to see the benefits, the fruits of your move. Not so much in the previous years, but hopefully this will be a gorgeous spring and summer. Okay, Proverbs chapter 23, and when you find your place, we'll stand for the reading of God's Word if you're physically able to, and we're going to focus again on verse 17, Proverbs 23, 17, "Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long." Dear Lord, as we come before you, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for this beautiful day. Lord, it doesn't matter. It could be sleeting. It could be raining. It could be snowing. The wind could be blowing, and it still would be a good day in your house. But we do thank you for these beautiful days, Lord. It reminds us of your loving kindness, your tenderness. And Lord, we ask that you'd help us now to cast out the fluff, the nonsense of this world, the cares of this world, the burdens. And Lord, that we would focus on your word now, what it has to tell us individually. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We've talked a little bit about this last week, about the fear of the Lord defined as an awe, an obedience, a reverence towards God, a reverential respect for God. So where are we? Where it pains us to do anything that would displease our Lord. You know, you think about Simon Peter when he betrayed Christ three times. What did he do? He went out and wept bitterly. The words of Christ, in one of the gospel accounts, it says that that third time, Christ looked at him. I don't know, you know, if there was some sort of a doorway that he could see through, or he was in that outer court, but for him to all of a sudden now remember, that's right. It wasn't like, I've got one more time. I know Christ said, well, you know, I'm going to deny him three times. No, it must have just clicked right then and there. And he said, oh my, that's right. He told me I would do this, and he went out and wept bitterly. And he wasn't weeping because he was caught, and he wasn't weeping because he was now being punished. He was weeping because for great sadness of what he had done and how he had betrayed Christ. And so as we think about our relationship with God, it's all about pleasing him. And when we displease our Lord and Savior, it causes us great sorrow, or ought to causes great sorrow. And that's a large part of the fear of God, where we love him so intently, so dearly, that we can't hurt him. We can't displease him. And go below his expectations for us. Okay, so let's take a look at the effects of the fear of God. So it's hating all sin and every evil thing. Let's take a look at Job 1:1, very first verse in the book of Job. Okay, Job chapter 1, verse 1. "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil." So that word eschewed means, in the Strong's the Hebrew definition, to turn off, literally or figuratively, to bring, to call back, to decline, to depart, to go aside. to remove, to turn aside or away. So he eschewed evil. He turned away from evil. He saw evil, and he said, no, no. And when we fear God, there's going to be times when we come across something that we're not expecting. And we need to be able to make a decision right then and there and eschew evil. Now, remember that we don't make those decisions then. You think about that beautiful verse in Daniel where it says that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself for the king's meat. He purposed in his heart. He said, I will not do this. And so it first begins in the heart where we purpose, we're not going to do this or we're not going to do that. And I can tell you, and you probably have experiences like this, particularly as a young person, there were times when, you know, fresh out of my parents' home, I'm starting to make my way in the world as a young man, and you've been warned about certain things, and boom, the next thing you know, you're right there. The temptation is right in front of you. It's just all it needs to do is be taken. That's all it needs. And what has to happen is beforehand, you have to make the decision. You have to purpose in your heart. And fortunately, in some of those cases, I had purposed in my heart. And when that time came, it wasn't like, what do I do? No, there's the decision was made previously. I went this way, not that way. And that's the way it needs to be. We need to eschew evil. And it starts in the heart. We first of all have purpose that we will not defile ourselves. It's not going to be the king's meat, likely. But there's going to be so many other areas in our life that can and will defile us. And so we must purpose. And then when we get next to that decision, it's automatic. We know exactly what we need to do. So Job feared God and eschewed evil. Let's take a look at Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. So those are things that God hates. We need to hate them. And we need to turn from them. So we don't just have this attitude like, well, I do like that. You know, you think about somebody that has an intolerance for something. You know, my wife is finding that she's developing a bit of a dairy intolerance, something she never had before, and in some cases, some meats where she needs to take a digestive enzyme to, so she doesn't have an upset stomach. And so in some of these cases, it's not just a matter of going, well, man, I sure would love to have some yogurt. I'd love to have some cheese, or love to have that glass of milk, and where you still love it. When it comes to sin, we don't have that sort of, oh, but man, yeah, I know I shouldn't, and I won't, but I sure would like it. This doesn't work that way in the Christian life. We must hate it, despise it. And why do we hate it? Sin? These various sins? Why do we hate it? Because we know that God hates it, and we know that any sin will bear evil fruit in our life. So we have to hate it. We can't just go, oh, no, I won't touch it. I'll leave it alone. Instead, we must have an abhorrence for sin. We must hate it. So here we see we're to hate evil, hate pride, arrogancy, the evil way, the froward mouth. Remember the word froward, fromward, the old English word, to be going away from God, not toward him, but going away from him. And we are to hate that. Froward words, froward speech. It's not saying we hate the person. It's saying we hate the evil, the sin. Let's take a look in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 6. Proverbs 16, verse 6. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. So we have that fear of the Lord, and it helps us to depart from evil. Again, it starts in the heart, where we have a hatred for sin, where we despise it, because we have the long view. We look to the logical end conclusion of that sin. So where will pride take me? Scripture tells me pride will trip me up. I will fall. I'll be embarrassed. I'll be disgraced. Pride is something that God hates. And God is angry with the wicked every day. That's where some of the places pride will take me. So therefore, I am to hate pride. I am to hate arrogancy. I am to hate lust. Looking at what lust breeds. Lust brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Now, I'm adding lust into that verse from James. But lust is a sin, and so any sin, that is the progression of any sin, it brings death. Lust brings envy. Well, he has it, or she has it, and I don't. And then we start getting angry with them. Start developing malice in our heart. We have to hate that. We have to hate all these various sins. Not just go around them and say, oh, I really would like that. But we need to hate it. So by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. So it begins with a fear of the Lord in our heart. We see some of the other effects of the fear of the Lord. It was because of the fear of the Lord that the Hebrew midwives did not take the lives of the newborn male babies when Pharaoh had said, drowned them. And we see that in in Exodus chapter 1, verse 17, that is because they feared God that they did not do that. And they risked their own lives. Exodus chapter 1, verse 17. But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men and children alive. And verse 21, and it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. So respecting the sanctity of life. And as we develop that fear of God, it helps us to respect the sanctity of life. And you know, we might just go immediately, our mind might take us immediately to the right for life. You know, we're thinking of the pro-life movement and those unborn babies. And certainly, that is a large part of it. I mean, these midwives were saving the lives of babies that were born, and we see that it makes no difference whether they're still in the womb or whether they have been born. We are to protect that life. But even think about the sanctity of life. You know, you think about how the Apostle Paul said that we're not to put a stumbling block before a brother to cause him to sin. You know, that he is made in the image of God. And we are not to injure others. We're not to hurt others. We have to remember. We're not to respond with anger towards others. We're not to cut others down. They've been made in the image of God. Maybe what they're doing, perhaps what they're doing is sinful. Maybe it's reprehensible. But that person is still made in the image of God. We respect the sanctity of life. We see also in Hebrews 11, 23 that it was because of the fear of God that Moses' parents, they hid him. And then they released him into that basket. It helps us to treat all people with dignity, treating all people justly and compassionately. You see how how God told the Israelites, hey, you were one day slaves. You were once upon a time strangers in Egypt. Don't abuse the strangers within your land. Take a look at Leviticus 19, please. Leviticus chapter 19. Verse 14. Thou shalt not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind. Thou shalt fear thy God. I am the Lord. Treating all people with dignity. And remember that God told Moses, have not I, a rhetorical question, have not I made the deaf and the dumb? And so God says, you better treat those that I've created with dignity and respect. You better have a fear of God. Also in that same chapter, verse 32, so Leviticus 19, verse 32, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God, I am the Lord. When we have opportunity to, let's be careful to show respect to those who are injured, crippled, elderly, remembering that they are made in the image of God, and let's have a proper fear of God. The hoary head, meaning the person that is older, gray hair, treating all people justly and compassionately. Also in Leviticus, now jumping forward to verse 25, chapter 25, sorry, 25, verse 17. Ye shall not therefore oppress one another, but thou shalt fear thy God, for I am the Lord your God. Not to oppress others. It could be so easy to lose sight of the fact of who people truly are and to be angry with them. You know, when you're going along your day and somebody's mean to you, somebody cuts you off in traffic, whatever the case is, someone says something to you rudely in your workplace, but remember, for the most part, they're most likely not born-again believers. They do not have the Holy Spirit living inside of them. And if they are a Christian that has said something wrong, well, then they're walking out of fellowship with God, and it's just a matter of them needing to get back right with God. So in that same chapter 25, now verse 36, take thou no usury of him or increase, but fear thy God, that thy brother may live with thee. Now remember, the Israelites were not to take usury of each other. The principle itself is that it is okay to charge interest of the world when looking at the nation of Israel versus the people round about them, but to each other, they were not to charge interest or usury. But he says here, but fear thy God, that thy brother may live with thee. Having the fear of God, one of the results is obeying God's commandments. So Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 4. Deuteronomy 13, verse 4. Obeying his commandments. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. And you shall serve him and cleave unto him. Obey him, serve him, cleave unto him. That's one of the things I want to do this new year, in this next year, is to cleave unto the Lord, is to really draw nigh to him. So it'll help us to obey God's commandments. You know what, if we are practicing religion, in a sense, where we are obeying his commandments, but it's not from the heart, that'll only last so long. That'll only go so far. It has to be from the heart, where we say, wow, That action, that commandment pleases the Lord. That action over there seriously displeases the Lord. I want to stay really far away from that one. And I want to go towards that commandment, to do that, to fulfill that command or that action. So obeying God's commandments. Also, praising and glorifying God. Let's take a look at Psalms chapter 22, verse 23. This morning, we're going to be looking at going back to Bethel, the house of God. And one of the things we're going to be looking at is one's joy. And when we are living in the fear of God, God gives us a real strong joy. It's not manufactured. It's not pretend. It's a real joy. And out of that joy, it's natural to praise God. We should not have to manufacture praise. We should not have to think long and hard, okay, well, Lord, there's got to be something I can praise you for. You know, there might be, within a situation, we might be going, Lord, this is painful, this is difficult. Please show me what there is here to praise you about in this situation. And the Lord might say, well, have you thought about this? And you're like, yeah, you're right. That is something I should praise you for. That is praiseworthy. Praising and glorifying God. Psalms chapter 22, verse 23. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him. And fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. Well, that goes for us too. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you have every reason to praise him. But it comes out of that heart of fear. Not that fear that bringeth a snare, as the scripture talks about. Not the fear that bringeth death. Not the fear that bringeth bondage. But that hatred for sin. That love of righteousness. That, if you were to kind of sum it up in a little sentence, basically, it's a hatred for sin, a love of holiness. That's it. And so when we're living that kind of a life, it just pours out of us. The praise, the glory. And there should be days where you're doing something and something happens and something slips and narrowly misses cutting your hand off, and the first thing that should come to your mind is, and to your lips, thank you, Lord, for protecting me. Let's take a look at Revelation. You can kind of keep your thumb there in Proverbs, because we've got a few more verses in the Old Testament, but in Revelation chapter 15, verse 4. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. And you know, I really believe that a large part of this is seeing. Remember the Queen of Sheba? You remember how, as Solomon with his servants was entering up into the temple, Scripture says that her heart, she almost fainted, basically, because of the glory. And that was just a man. That was the King Solomon. And, I mean, Jesus Christ said that he doesn't even compare it to the flowers of the field. And so her heart was like overpowered by the glory. And in order for us to praise God, we have to have visions of his glory. I don't mean visions of him on the end of our bed, those types of visions. I'm talking about as we get into Scripture and as we learn about who our Savior is. We have so much to glorify him for. Okay. So praising and glorifying God. You know, years ago, when we used to host this May long weekend conference back in Montrose, and my dad was, you know, when my dad had started that, he set a theme. I don't know how many years he set a theme, But the one year he set a theme, it was praising God. And it's something that we don't do enough. It really is something we don't do enough. And a number of the preachers came, and when they went up to preach, they said, "That's a great theme, but I've got a different message." And you know, they might have kind of started off with saying some things about praising God, and then they went totally different path. We've set a theme for this conference, and it is from our last year's theme, "Crucified with Christ, Nevertheless I Live." I find that is such a profound theme or a profound verse in Scripture, principle for the Christian to get their hearts wrapped around. And so I'm hoping and praying that the preachers that come, they will be empowered with the Holy Spirit to preach on that theme. But just giving you a bit of history on different themes, and praising God was one of the themes that we had done years and years ago. But the believer first needs to have a vision of God. They see Christ in his holiness, this pure, spotless Lamb of God who came and died on the cross for our sins. It should not be dry. It should not be stale. It should not be old news. See, the problem is that we as humans, we get bored easy. And that's not right. It's not right for us to be bored. We are supposed to find contentment in the Lord. You know, sometimes people try this. No, it didn't work. Try this. And they're basically doing what Solomon tried. But Solomon had the means to really try it to its end conclusion. But we can only go so far as our finances allow, because they usually, these things that we try, sometimes, you know, usually have a price tag associated with it or some sort of consequence. But, you know, people are always trying this, trying that, trying that. It doesn't bring happiness. It doesn't bring contentment. And that's where we have to be content in the Lord and not be bored, not become bored. And if we are, back into the Word. That's the answer. Get back into the Word. So, praising and glorifying God. Also, going back into Psalms, now Psalms 115, is that one of the effects of fearing God is trusting God. Psalms 115. Verse 11. "Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield." Do you need help? Are there areas in your life you need help? I could have a Christmas shopping list long of areas that I need God's help in, where I need God's wisdom. There are times when I feel like Solomon when he said that I am like a child and I need your wisdom, as he was praying that famous prayer before the Lord. I'm sure you can say the same. There are times when you don't know which way to go. You don't know what to do. Well, when we have a fear of God, we can put our trust in him. He's big enough. He's strong enough. He promises to provide us wisdom and direction. We are to put our trust in him. Another area, the effect of the fear of God is trembling at the word of God. Trembling at the word of God. Isaiah chapter 66. We need to have a deep reverence for God's word. It cannot grow old to us. It cannot be sidelined as irrelevant to our life, irrelevant to this day and age. We must tremble at his word. And if we don't have that kind of a reverence of God's word, then we have a heart problem that we need to deal with. Isaiah 66, verse 2 and verse 5. "For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things hath been made. Or sorry, all those things hath been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite heart, and trembleth at my word. Now you know that word poor sometimes means financially poor. Sometimes, more often than not, it's speaking of poor in spirit, where we are humble before God, where we come before him, we acknowledge that we don't bring him anything, that we don't offer him anything. You know, I've mentioned before how Corrie Ten Boom had an aunt. I can't remember her name, but this aunt found out she was going to die from diabetes. And the family came as a unit to deliver her the news that the doctor had given them, because Corrie would always be testing her blood sugar using a really, I mean, back then it was the method, but you had to boil this and do that, and it's quite a process. It wasn't just a glucometer. But she was told that she didn't have long to live. Basically, her kidneys were shutting down. And Casper, Corrie's father, said to his sister, he said, "But think of all that you've done with your life, all that you're giving the Lord." And she said, "No, I'm not giving him anything. My hands are empty. He fills me." And it was just that it was really powerful the way she worded that. And when we are poor in spirit, we come to recognize that we don't have gifts and talents to offer God. God is the one that gave us anything that we have. Anything we give back to him is just his investment. Hopefully he gets the principal and some interest back, not just the principal. And hopefully we didn't dip into the principal and skim any off. But poor in spirit and contrite. Verse 5, hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, let the Lord be glorified, but he shall appear to your glory, and they shall be ashamed. Those enemies were hypocrites. They were pretentious and said, let the Lord be glorified. But they will be ashamed, because these are the ones that they trembled at his word. They were the true believers. So do we tremble at God's word? That is an effect of the fear of God, where the word of God has a profound impact on us. And you see there are times where the Israelites did not have the word of God, and when they had the word of God read to them, they were astounded, ashamed for their sin, and they trembled, and they got right with God. And we need to have a deep reverence for God's word. We need to live in his word. There are degrees of fearing God, just as there are degrees in loving God. We see from Jonah chapter 1, verse 9, that Jonah feared God, but it was not always enough to willingly obey God. And you see how, even though he feared God to some degree, he was angry at God when God shriveled up that gourd. He was angry that God forgave the Ninevites. He was sitting there back there to have a little show, to watch God destroy one of the national enemies of Israel. And he was angry with God that God would forgive them. So just like, you know, there are these degrees. And obviously we ought to be intending to be going closer and closer to God, having a deeper, deeper fear of God, a reverence for him and his commands. Again, a hatred for sin. Okay, let's close with the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you, and Lord, we pray that you'd help us to perfect holiness in the fear of God. Lord, help us to tremble at your word. Lord, that we would have a deep reverence for it, that we would hate sin, love holiness. Lord, help us not just have a smidgen of the fear of God, but that we would be pursuing it, knowing that it is the beginning of wisdom, as your word says. Pray that individually and as a church, we would culture a deep fear of God. Lord, we ask that you be with us as I go into our morning worship service, that you would speak to our hearts and help us to encourage one another, to be looking out for each other. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.